Someone overlooked things and so on.
It was an effort.
But you had some rugged times there, so. Well, let's begin with prayer. Father in heaven, we are privileged to be your servants and your sons. We ask that you will bless our interaction. May we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ and be better suited for the ministry to which you have called us. Bless Carl as he is continuing to come, and we ask that you will comfort him. Bless Dennis and his family at the death of his cousin. May the gospel minister to all in that service this day, in Jesus' name. Well, it's simple and straightforward. I like the KISS principle, keep it simple, son.
Oh, son, that's better than the one I heard.
Oh, yes. I don't use the other one unless I'm forced to.
There probably is the two words. Isn't it? I remember that version.
So, for today, I would like, as I'm just reading this so that it's also on the recording, I would like to have you review the course we've entitled SH33. This will be the concluding section of it. Any comments in terms of what may not be clear or what would be more useful to you? And then observations and conclusions about SH33. This, in my mind, is sort of a cleanup course, if there are loose ends and so forth. And you either get them tied up now or you don't. That's it. So, floor's open. Go ahead. Here comes Carl. My faith in you is vindicated. Figured if I prayed long enough, you'd be here.
Oh, yeah. How you doing? How's everybody?
Did it rain on your head out there yet?
No, not yet. It's going to rain.
It is. You might feel it.
It's going to rain.
Yeah.
Oh, you feel it.
Oh, yeah.
Feel it in the bone.
That's right. Jim, be our lead off.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. This, an overall comment on the class. At first, I was thinking, I wish all the preaching classes could be done in this manner. First of all, I think that sometimes the preaching classes here are so large. But then I thought, well, some of the basic preaching classes should be that way because you're trying to get across information to maybe inexperienced or new preachers and things like that. So I came down to, rather than criticizing the overall structure of preaching classes, I'm just going to say that this is the perfect way to finish up preaching, in my opinion, because there were so many practical things we hit on, and I would want to see seminary students educated in practical things, because usually you just get tossed out there and you figure out how to do funerals and marriages and things like that. So I thought, first of all, the smallness of the class was fantastic to be able to interact with you. Secondly, I liked the practical application of our preaching to individual subjects. That was fantastic. I thought, you know, rather than just prepare a sermon, prepare it in this direction, or this is how you do it in that direction. So that meant a lot to me. I would say, first of all, my favorite lesson that you brought to bear was the need to be fresh as a preacher. No excuses for warmed over stuff. There must be a freshness. You emphasized that. And you do something that I don't see a lot of Reformed people do when they talk about preaching. You emphasize an openness to the Holy Spirit, His direction, His leading, His need to be with you while you're preaching. Not that other Reformed pastors don't do that, but they don't articulate that in class. They would be more stick to your historical grammatical approach, do the covenant theology part here, make sure there's a part of the Old Testament, part of the New Testament, make sure it's summed up in Jesus. That needs to be taught, and it's sound preaching. But you taught us about a freshness so that you prepare and then maybe throw the notes away when you get up there. That was not articulated in other classes, and maybe it shouldn't be because this is the pinnacle of the classes. So I appreciated the freshness there. And it urged me onto my own freshness. I always try to be fresh, but boy, you can lapse into reusing material. So that meant an awful lot to me. You emphasize the personal discipline in the approach to preparing sermons, and that is very valuable. The amount of study. I just appreciate how much study and effort you put into the Greek text or the Hebrew text, and then tying things together in exhaustive word studies. Not so that you can preach it, but so you can be prepared. And that is absolutely invaluable, because that needs to come out. Somehow a seminary student needs to hear that that's how you do your devotional study so that you're adequate and able to preach. And I think what you've done by bringing that out, pastors, is you've allowed us to form a habit that'll make us a reservoir for preaching later on. Because once you accumulate it, it's there and it's in your heart, and God can use it on the spot if he wants to. So that was very valuable. I mentioned already the personal applications to marriage, funeral, challenging us to look at what types of sermon we would preach there, but then telling us how you preached, what you preached, what the funerals were like. I don't know if there is any other course that does anything near that at the seminary. Even some of the practical pastoral theology classes don't go into the detail that you did, that I think is extraordinarily important for a young minister. This is a minor point, but it really has me going, is a number of times, you may not have even recognized it, but you emphasized the feminization of a pastor and the ministry. As a casualty of the feminization of America and the society, and it really has me examining my life, my ministry, the way I do things. If there has been an insidious, somehow, introduction of this philosophy into my life, somehow, because I'm around it all the time. So that was a side note, but it ended up being a major theme for me in examining my life, my preaching, the way I am as a father, a husband. And you might not even have intended to do that, but it did. Your encouragement was very, very noteworthy. I love that as well. So those are at least some introductory remarks that I have.
Hisan.
Yes. My observations and conclusions about preaching course. First, in preparing to preach, you emphasized preacher, as a preacher, we need to know what the Spirit has his word to speak. The preacher is need to know that. In order to know that, we need to pray for guidance of the Holy Spirit. That was very good point. Because, and also, preaching is a time matter. We need to preach an appropriate message, appropriate time, appropriate people. That is what God wants to, what he wants to deliver his mind, his will, his people. So preachers should be instrument of that ministry. And also, before preach, I need to apply the text, hold it to myself. Without the message that stir my mind, without stirring my mind, how can I deliver God's message powerfully and effectively? So at first, I need to listen what God said to me first, and I need to apply the text to myself first. That is very good point, and also, kiss please. Not stupid. Kiss.
But son.
Yeah, keep it simple. Son. That means I don't have to try to deliver so much content in one preaching. Just focus on simple principle, but simple but exact but clear about Jesus Christ. That was a very good point. And also, outline, make outline is very difficult. But before to make outline, we need to listen to the Word of God, and we need to have the Word of God in my heart. Then outline assists our preaching. So, to make outline is, yeah, that is very important, but making outline is not all. Before make outline, we need to have a God's message in our heart. And then that outline will assist during our preaching. And also listening to the talking Bible. So I try to buy this one But I heard that Brian Barnett, he was the last year student, he is going to give that audio Bible to me.
So oh,
I'm
good.
Like blessed.
Good.
I just keep asking my people.
Good.
So
good. Good.
He's going to give it to me. So I'm trying to listen. And also one thing I need to apply right now, before sermon, we don't have to put so many orders before sermon, and everything should be rightly focused on the focus on sermon. So I need to apply this principle to my ministry right now in English worship service. Mm. I just put my preaching time just the end of the worship service, but that is not so good.
I think that.
So I need to change some order of our worship service. I need to apply this to that. And wedding service, the one thing I learned from this one is I need to counsel before I preach in the wedding service. I need to counsel with the couple, and I need to discuss with them how I lead the wedding ceremony, and I need to counsel with them about the married life. That is the pastoral mind for the pastor. And also funeral service, that is during service. That is asking me of our result of our sins. And also this kind of funeral service, sacraments, during this course I learned I did not learn just a skill, I learned principle. I learned the meaning and concept of each worship service. What is the concept of sacrament and Lord's Supper and baptism and the funeral service? So that principle helped me to make, to prepare before I get into pastoral ministry. And funeral worship service also helped me, I need to, during this time, I need to comfort the family, and at the same time, I need to share the gospel. And sacraments, I've learned lots of concept at this while I'm studying it at the seminary about the sacraments and Lord's Supper and baptism while I was memorizing the catechism. But during this course, I learned the principle and deep meaning and concept of each type of service, sacrament. So, sacraments are the visual form of the invisible grace. And I've learned the Murray's book that you recommended to me, the collected writing of Murray's. While I was reading that book was very clear and it was very nice. Well summarized, and that gave me a proper concept of each sacrament. So I learned lots of things while I was reading that book. And baptism is a sign and seal of the covenant of grace, and it is union with Christ. And also I'm thinking about the infant baptism under the context of covenant relationship in the Abraham and his children. So while I was thinking about this, I also thought to baptize my baby. We didn't get baptized to him, but my church didn't offer baptismal service. So I need to ask my pastor to help to offer the service. It is very important. And the Lord's Supper is a commemoration of the death of Jesus. And a seal, it is also a seal of the covenant and the forgiveness of sins. And the one thing that was that interesting me is the psalm was sung after the Lord's Supper. Matthew 26. And I also read about this one in the Stonehouse book. That I read that book in the Synoptic Gospel, mm-hmm. while I was reading. Rick Devil also Stonehouse. He recorded this about this part. He just, what did he think? What did he think? Did it some or him? He just explained that, and I found that pretty sure that he's in a song.
113 through 118.
Yeah. So it was very, very attractive to me, so I need to translate some song so that I may sing the words for this. And also, one thing that struck me is Lucifer is a retrospective in memory of Jesus' death. In that point, it's a retrospective, but it is also present. It is communion here and now and in this present with Jesus Christ. Retrospective and it's present. And it's also prospective. That means it is charged with perpetual anticipation. We are looking for second coming of Jesus Christ. So in the Lucifer, there's a deep meaning. It's retrospective and present, and it's also prospective. So there's a the deep understanding of Lucifer will, this will help me preach boldly about the death of Jesus Christ and his blood. I need to also apply that principle in my preaching. And also, all these sacraments should go with the preaching of the Word of God. The sacrament itself is not important. Always, sacrament should go with the Word of God. I found this place for you.
Carl.
Thank you guys, man. I feel it on the cracks, dude.
Oh, yeah. It's the last you got the tough job.
They said they don't have somebody to fill in the cracks. You forgot a cracked wall.
That's right. Here, I'll read mine. For observations and conclusions, I greatly appreciated this preaching course. First, the time of the class was well thought out. I did not like the idea of hurrying to put on my preaching face once the bell sounded. Although I'm a student and my preaching was evaluated, I took the preparation seriously and I needed time to settle my spirit before preaching. As a pastor, you realize that an afternoon class would be one less distraction for the preacher, and I thank you for your insight. Secondly, I like the relaxed atmosphere of our class. It was small and the chairs in a circle gave us an intimate feeling. We had an outline for each class, but you were open to the leading of the Spirit, which would guide our conversations to meet our needs. We had an opportunity to have a one-on-one in a classroom setting with 40 years of experience. God was gracious to us this quarter for giving us a small class. Thirdly, the lack of a textbook was not a hindrance for us. I believe a textbook would have been a dry means of learning. Instead, we could dip into the well of a pastor's experience and learn practical things that a man entering the pastorate for the first time may encounter. It was reassuring to have Jim Flynn agree with some of your observations of the difficult things that are involved in pastoring. Not that I did not believe you, but to have him nod his head and reminisce of his experiences gave me the privilege of sitting at a pastor's conference. I'm reminded of your famous quote, you can't make a preacher, you can only encourage him. Fourthly, covering the practical issues such as the length of service, memorizing the pastoral blessing, and the scripture for the Lord's Supper, or being prepared for the funeral service by knowing something of the deceased is invaluable information. We could have easily read this in a book, but to hear it from your lips and to see the list of those who have laid to rest was impressive. To hear of the trials and tribulations of your congregation and the not-so-happy endings to some gave me the dose of reality that all fledgling preachers need. You made it clear that one must be called into the ministry. This is not a glamorous job or glorious position. A pastorate is a calling to serve and is a unique partnership between God, the flock, his family, and himself. This relationship is not to be taken with a cavalier attitude. Eternal destinies are at stake. And finally, I'm compelled to say it was a privilege and a blessing to have you as a pastor, teacher, counselor, and friend. You gave us the best from your vast archives of knowledge and experience to develop us. we are to carry your mantle into the 21st century and then train and pass it on to worthy students. Your legacy is our legacy, the legacy of Jesus, the apostles, and the reformers. You gave us Warfield, Machen, and Murray to help root us. Thank you, Pastor Robeson, for being faithful to your call.
Amen.
I'm touched.
Thank you.
Would there be anything in retrospect that would be useful to change? The very fabric of the course is in a sense dependent, contingent upon those who are in it. And I really like the casual, unhurried. There is certain structure that is required, I think, but it's not set in concrete, and it's not something that can't be molded to fit. So each individual changes the complex of any kind in the course. But is there anything you would change or add or Jim?
One thing that I'm thinking of, it would have been interesting as a class to prepare a sermon on the same subject, so we could see, number one, like yourself included, so that we could see how you approach the topic, number one. We would get into it and do it, but then you would maybe present the sermon first. It doesn't have to be out of chapel. You know, if we did that, if you used one class and you said, we're going to do a sermon on resurrection or Lazarus or something like that, just to, you know, don't tell us what you're doing, we don't tell you, we come back. Just to see what you did and how you took it, and then to see the different directions that everybody in class, it would have been an interesting class.
I do that with you on occasions. I slip it in so subtly that you missed it. What did I do on Tuesday night with Romans?
Oh, you made us sum the book up.
Well, that was part of it. My sermon, I'm going to preach on Romans next week. I shouldn't have said that. I was going to keep that as my thumper. But I gave you a sermon on the basket.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right.
Now, and I've given you those other sermons with that very thought in mind, that in the case of the basket, which is the most recent one, and please tell me you did not get a copy of this, so I'm sorry, I actually have brought one for you today, but what would you do? If I gave you as an assignment, preach about baskets in the Bible, you'd say, Pastor, I'm a basket case, I can't do that.
You'd say, you're on to it.
I did not use that idiom, basket case. You know why?
Might have been offensive to
you? It would have been offensive because I was preaching to people who were octogenarians and up.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so, as I thought about it and prayed about it, Spirit gently directed me away from anything that would be too close to reality, because there are some people in the circumstances there who are utterly dependent, and they,
right,
in a non-euphemistic way, are called basket cases. Mm-hmm. So I stayed away, and I mention this to you so that you will see the humor in it, but that you'll know not to use it. Hisan, have you any additional suggestions?
It's good. Generally it's good, but we didn't preach. We just preached one time.
Yes.
So next time we need to secure more opportunities to preach.
Yeah, I think about that. And I go back to the idea, which wasn't original with me, by the way. You can't make a preacher, but you can help him. And so, with the press of so many students, and the chapel, I think, has an improper time limit. It's for preaching. You can have a chapel, which is a devotional kind of service, but I think that it does a little injustice to the preaching. I abide by it, and I'm not trying to change it, but you need a little more context. For example, I'm like everyone else, sometimes I'm distracted either by what I have to do or what I've just done, and it's hard sometimes just to shift gears And I go to the chapel to be instructed. I do not go to be critical. So when I'm there, and I can do it easily. I'm not struggling to do it, but that is my mindset. If there are things that come up in the preaching that I recognize can be addressed and say, look, here's a better way to think of it. For example, if Dennis were here today, I heard him preach, I heard him preach at the chapel, and I heard him preach in an actual context, did well. He should have had his glass of water sitting there before he stood up. May not have needed it, but that's one detail. And by the way, if you bring water to the pulpit, don't make it cold, because cold constricts your vocal cords.
Okay.
Warm is actually better. Most people don't know that. They give you 3/4 ice and 1/4 water. It takes a long time for that much ice to melt. And those are trivial matters, I think. Trivial. Your posture in the pulpit, your clothing, your relaxed attitude. If something is funny, you laugh. If it's there are things that come up. So in the case of Dennis, when he was preaching, there was somebody out there hammering away on the air conditioner. Now, I believe it was Dennis when that happened. But whoever it was, someone was preaching, and you just have to flex accordingly. So, in other words, by the grace of God, we're doing what we're doing. Sometimes funny things happen, and you just accept them. Sometimes other things happen, and you just accept that too. Any other suggestions, Carl?
I like it. I just think that, I was like Jim, what Jim was saying, that all the preaching courses could be like this. Even though I guess maybe in the very beginning, Ad Robinson's book, Biblical Preaching, was helpful. But you know, see, the thing it is when you sit up and you tell somebody something from your heart, and then you could lay an outline up on the board, and then even if you can't go into the chapel, you could preach here, and or just give out the outline, and you could make the corrections. I wouldn't change anything. Only thing I would change is come back and do it again. Oh, yeah. That's all.
Well, I find it, I would be very hard-pressed to read textbooks about preaching. I got into an awful lot of trouble because I just said, this is not the way to do it. My professor chastised me. So he said, you promised you would do this. So I read the book in about 500 pages a minute. This is not testing. That was a level of arrogance you don't need.
Another suggestion, it's only a suggestion. After you've done something for 40 years like you have definitely got to have looked at different preachers and said, this annoys me. But maybe you didn't say it to them. It'd be great just to spend a whole class on the 10 things that annoy Pastor Rose said about preachers, preaching. You know, not singling out anybody, but just to hear the things that as an experienced preacher get on you about, like mannerisms, actions, words, like you know, number one might be bad use of grammar, you know, and you give examples of that. Number two might be fidgeting in the pulpit. You know,
you hit two of them right off the top.
I know, because I've heard you comment on that. So, but that would be very helpful in polishing, because a final preaching class is really a polishing class.
Jim, I will take that opportunity, the opportunity you've just given me, to address this point. We are all clay vessels. We have our idiosyncrasies. There are things that are not going to change about us. There are things I do. I know better, but sometimes I don't do better. Part of it is the nature of the being, and that's the way we're stuck with it. So on occasions, I will myself do things that are, I know, where I'm critiquing myself, I would say, don't do that. But the thing that I'm most jealous for each of you, that you will not ever go into the pulpit with a pauper's purse, that you will never go in with nothing to say. For myself, I can look over everything except don't give me chaff. Don't waste my time. Don't ride a hobby horse. Don't beat me to death with the same words over and over again. Instruct me. There's so much there. And as a young man, a young Christian, a young pastor, I would hear so many men who just did not pay the price, in my judgment, for the price for learning and the price for being able to say, thus saith the Lord. And I knew men who just weren't honest in that. And it saddens me to realize, I'm talking about people I know, or contemporaries of mine, they can't wait to get out of the ministry. They just can't wait to get finished, get to that retirement. Well, if the Lord spares my life, I'll die in the classroom. It'll be a little tough on the students, but I can't imagine. I'm just coming. You probably heard other people say this. I've heard other people saying it. But I'm coming now to the place where I'm really getting to understand things. And I still have a vast, vast area of material, many, many things to do. I don't know that I'll ever get them all done. But I've never varied from that particular principle. I've always been careful that to the extent that I could, whenever I preached, wherever I preached, and if I was beaten up by circumstances where I couldn't preach well, at least I was brief. And I invoke that. A short sermon is not a disgrace if that's all you have. But taking a long time to say a short sermon is a disgrace. those are the things I feel most keenly. Faithful study of the Word, faithful proclamation of what you find. That there is nothing better, I can tell you. Nothing more important to me. But I've just told you what is really, really difficult to do. It is, he's on. It is. You gentlemen have paid that price, as far as I'm concerned. You all understand the just getting through the seminary, you displayed your understanding of the level of difficulty, the perseverance when you're tired, when your body is reacting, when your mind is reacting. You can't see anymore, and you can't write anymore, when your gut is just wrenched, and yet you have to go on. Well, you've all done that. I know that that is the nature of each one of you, and I'm very happy to draw on whatever I have to give you from that, because I am convinced you will use it. That's exciting. That's going into the next generation. But there's a high price tag, and not a lot of people pay it. There's a lot of superficiality. I don't like that. I try not to be that. I don't strike 12 every time, but I know what I'm after. Well, gentlemen, it has been an honor and a privilege. I would like your written presentations, and there is no more to say, so you don't have to prolong things. We'll close with prayer. Father in heaven, we bow to acknowledge with great gratitude the mercy we have received at your hand, that we have been made children, sons of God, and that we have the prospect of everlasting life now and in your presence. We thank you that you've lifted the burden of judgment and guilt and sin and its hold upon us. And we thank you for the way in which you are restoring us by the work of your Spirit, by the application of your Word. Thank you that we've been privileged to study and learn together. And I pray that you will bless Carl and his son and Jim and Dennis as they undertake the work to which you've called them. Protect them from harm and evil. Bless their steps. Give them the degree of perseverance necessary to accomplish their goals. Grant them health and strength and useful service in your kingdom. We thank you for these glorious riches, for keeping us as your children in Jesus. Jesus' name.